I live in the present. The past takes care of itself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I live in the present. The past takes care of itself. Are we able to live in the present? Are we able to be aware of the present? Are we able to understand what the present is? Because no matter what thinking we do, it's always thinking a moment or two before. We're always thinking about something that we did a moment or two before. We are never really thinking in the instantaneous now. That takes real training. We have offered a suggestion to you to work on living in the present, to work on thinking in the now. And some of you have done it, and some of you have not. And those of you who have done it live in the now. Those of you who have not done it are living in the past. And as long as you live in the past, you will not enjoy your reality. You will enjoy only that which is past. So if that's important to you, go for it. Go for it. Now, those of you who would like to live in the present, those of you who would like to be in the present and enjoy the present, here's how you do it. To live in the present means that you grasp the first thought that you think. Now, how can you grasp the first thought that you think? The thoughts go through your mind so quickly because you are a disorderly person. You are a person who lets every little thought come into your mind and say, hey, look at me, pay attention to me, I'm interesting, hey, I'm fascinating, I'm desirable, I'm wonderful. And you do. You pay attention to it. You may say, I don't care about you, or I'm interested in you, or hey, mucknicks, you know, it doesn't matter one little bit about what thought comes into your mind. But you give it attention. Now, if you are a divine human being, let's call it that. If you're a divine human being, and someone in your world acts in a way which is inconsistent with your divine human beingness, do you pay attention to it? If people are talking bad or gossiping, let's just say that. If people are gossiping and you can hear them, do you listen? Do you listen? And yes, you listen because you're paying attention. You know they're gossiping. The minute you hear any conversation that is not your business and you pay attention to it, you're gossiping. You have your attention where it is not beneficial for you to have it. Now, you think, man, I'd have to be on duty every second. That's right. You'd have to be on duty every second. Now, Ellen made this blasé comment yesterday. She said, you know, when you're learning to drive, your concentration is on every little thing that you're doing while you're driving. But once you know how to drive, you can be thinking about it 100 different things, and you can be doing all sorts of things. Now, isn't that interesting? Okay, let's just say, once you take the pain in the neck to learn how to follow your first thought, to listen to your first thought, then after you have learned it, you will never be bothered by extraneous thoughts again. You'll never be bothered by thoughts that are misleading you. In fact, you can have a lot of first thoughts. You can have a lot of first thoughts, but stick with it. The reason that your life is so incomplete, so irrational, so, what words can you use for it? Is that you do not fill your time and your thinking with first thoughts. If you would fill your time and your thinking with first thoughts, there'd be no room for other thoughts. There'd be no room for the past. The past would take care of itself. There'd be no room for that whatsoever. You'd be so busy with all the wonderful first thoughts that you have. Now, let's make this statement. Every first thought is an ideal, beautiful thought. Every first thought is an ideal, archetypal, beautiful thought. Every first thought is worthy of thinking. However, we let ourselves catch the first thought down the line, after it has become changed by its followers and by the world around it, and the first thought no longer is what the first thought was at all, and we think that we're thinking the first thought, and we're not. Now let's just take the statement of Jesus. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy spirit, and thy neighbor like thyself. Okay? Now let's say, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy spirit, all that good stuff. That's great. That's great. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you love the Lord thy God with all that you are? Well, obviously not. Because if you love the Lord thy God with all that you are, you would be expressing that in everything that you do. And you're not expressing that because you think God doesn't know what's best for you. Now, we are sounding like we're talking about a God outside of us, and that's just fine. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how we interpret God. Oh, God! And go the hands up there to pray to an outside deity. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within every man. And in the kingdom of heaven dwells God. Now, could anything be more specific, more definite, more positive? The philosopher says, man, know thyself. If you know yourself, you know everything. If you know yourself, the universe is open up to you. If you know yourself, you have every opportunity to be anything, do anything, experience anything in the whole world, in any of your imagination. You can do it. Now, do you want to? Sounds like it would be fun, doesn't it? But why don't we do it? Because we have not trained ourselves to drive. We're still putting our foot on the pedal. We're still watching where the gas is. We're still watching the gas gauge. We're still watching this and that. Now, I went over to the hardware store, and the man working there said, are you getting any amps on your amp meter? And I didn't have any idea what the amp meter was. I did know, but when he asked me, my mind wasn't there at all. And I said, yeah, all my gauges are reading correctly. You see, I scan them. My first thought, all my gauges reading right? I scan them. That's what I taught myself to do in driving. I get in the car, turn on the engine, and I scan my gauges. Is it too hot, too cold? Is it this, is that, and that's, and you don't stop and think, your amp meter, you know. And so I said, and then he points at it. He says, yeah, you're doing fine. Oh, yeah. You know, I knew it because it was doing the right thing. It was right in the middle, charging, like it should have been. But you see, once you are inculcated into your project, into what you're doing, you don't stop and think about it. You don't think about the details. You just know it. But if our mind is not trained to think the first thought, then we're going to be thinking other thoughts. We're going to be thinking thoughts that are going to be limiting to us and devastating to us and destructive to us, and that's not going to accomplish anything at all for us. I live in the present. I think my first thought. Do I say, I think my first thought now, blue, white, brown, house, car, people, whatever, you know? No, that's not what you think. Your first thought is a very interesting thought. Your first thought was, let's float, you know? And so, oh, no, we can't do that. We're gravity. We got, see, boom, da boom, da boom, da boom, da boom. Our first thought is, let's float. Let's just levitate. Let's just do this. Oh, no, you know? The past tells you, I've tried it before. Can't do it. And your first thought said, let's float. You should say, wow, yes, that's great. Floating is wonderful. Oh, wow, yes, let's float. I'm floating. Searching for Nemo, looking for Nemo, remember? What did the little fish say? Swim. And the bigger fish says, now that's just about enough of that. But swim. He was just in the swim. He was happy. And he said a lot of other little things like that in repetition. But what was he doing? He was keeping his mind one-pointed on what he was doing. You listen to them and you say, man, that's a pain in the butt to hear that swim, 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 swim all the time. And that's an irritation. You think so? That's what got them through. That's what got him through. He had no other thought but his first idea to swim and to go and to do. You see, and so he did it. Now, you, in your mature adult attitude, you listen to it and you say, isn't that cute? No, it's not cute. That's great. That's real. That's what you want to do, is swim, 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 swim. Did you see Looking for Nemo?
No, but I heard.
Yeah. It's a good little show. So, one pointed. Now, you see, in the other movie we saw about the dog who was supposed to have been killing the sheep, the young man said, my dog does not kill sheep. My dog never does that. My dog tends sheep, herds sheep, likes sheep, but never kills them. Never is disastrous. And he held true to that. But the boy made a mistake. The going started to get tough. So then he began to lie. And he began to say, my dog has always been with me. He's never been alone. He's never been alone. And see, the moment he did that, he put himself on the line. Because he was no longer living the first thought. The first thought is, that dog does not kill sheep. In other words, that dog loves sheep. That dog cares for sheep. That dog doesn't kill them, you see. And when you begin to worry, when you begin to live in the past, and you begin to think, well, maybe it might have, and I got to protect him, then you're in trouble. I know I say this to all of you here on campus. I say, Ellen, stop protecting Sylvia. She doesn't need any protecting. She's doing this right or she's doing this wrong. Don't protect her. It's just an is. Take it as an is. And Brian, he's doing what he's doing or he's not doing what he's doing. And the thing is, there's a lot that Sylvia doesn't know and never will know. And that doesn't matter. But the thing is, you are hurting yourself by protecting anybody else. Never protect them. No, you shake your head, no. But when you say you're too hard on him, you know, like your little brother, Mama, you're too hard on him, you know, because you know you did it, and he's taking the blame for it. But you see, you're too hard on him, and never protect another being, another dog or man or whatever. And when you do this, what's happening when you protect him? Then you're lying. You're lying. If you were to say, my dog is a lovely dog. My dog is trustworthy, if you want to use that word. All right, now we look at Brian. Brian is a wonderful man. Brian does a good job. He is always dependable. Brian puts his time to the best use that he can put it to. I mean, say those things, but don't say, oh, no, no, you're too tough on Brian. You're saying the wrong things. You know, the moment you do that, you're defending him. But the moment you say, Brian does the right thing. Now, is that what you really mean? Then say it. But the defense comes in because you feel guilty yourself. Because you, in your time, have done things where you have not put your time to the best advantage. And you see, any time you defend anybody in the world, or any time you take an issue in the world, it's because you have that issue in you. Now, these people on Greenpeace, you know, these people who are trying to stop the wars and go out and be peaceful, it's because their own home is a shambles. Their own home is a shambles. Sean told me about a lady today that we'll meet soon, I'm sure. And she's a lovely lady. She'd gone through some very serious health problems and still is enjoying some health problems. And she's raising her children alone and teaching them at home. Teaching them at home.
Sean.
One is 18, one is 14, and the other is younger. And so, Sean was at her home, because he has a high respect for this lady. He was at her home and helping her with something. And then the young boy, 14-year-old, came in. And he said, Mother, may I cut down the weeds in the yard? And she said, all right, you can cut them down, but only for a half an hour. No longer. I don't want you to tire yourself out. I want you to enjoy doing what you're doing, and just for half an hour. Yes, Mother. Now, Sean said to me, you know, if I were that kid and I were 14, I'd be trying to find ways of getting out of work, not offering myself to work. And it's very interesting, very interesting, very telling statements, very, very significant statements. But think about this. Think about this. And then Sean was making another statement. He says, he's always a procrastinator. And I said, great. I said, I'm glad to know all your little idiosyncrasies. And,
huh? That maybe what he left.
Well, that may be too. But nonetheless, he, as Ellen said, he knew what he had to do. He knew what equipment he had to have. And he could have had the equipment with him. And I said to him, after he left, which he had been here for maybe half an hour fooling around with these things, and I said, now, how much do we owe you? He said, oh, nothing. He said, you don't owe me unless I do some work. And I thought, what a fine statement to make, you know. Although he was here doing things we asked him to do and coming up with solutions that didn't work, but that's not his fault. That's our fault. We should pay him. But he didn't want it, because he felt he had not given something. Now, how do you think your first thought, I'm going to work on Sean, you can be sure of that. And as soon as, and Sean's going to be very susceptible to this philosophy, because he already is. And Brian is susceptible to it also. But Brian has some hang-ups that keep him from being harmonious with himself. And so we'll soon have that under tow too. But when you are thinking your first thought, when you're living in the now, when you're living in the present tense, first person, everything is beautiful. Now, what kind of a person is Sean? Anybody?
A fine person. He's God, like everybody else. He's divine.
I have just given you some garbage, and you have the opportunity to put that garbage in a new perspective if you wish, but you're not doing it. God, yeah, Sean, God, Sean is an eager worker. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not hard, is it?
Right.
Sean, Sean always does today whatever is to be done today because he lives in the now.
Yes.
So there would go his procrastination.
Okay.
Okay. Now, can you see how when you figure it out yourself first, then you bring it to pass in your creation.
Okay.
So now, I'm not telling you these things about Sean or about Brian to put them down. I'm just using them for examples because you have emotions about them. And your emotions make you blind to being a beneficial person in your life about them. And I want you to be master of these emotions, master of your beneficial life, so that you can speak your word and have everyone in your world be the most fabulous person can be. Now, Sylvia, you would love to be the Lady Kathy, who he respects so highly. You would love to be her, because she has become master of many things. And the illness that she is releasing is unimportant. That's not the point. But she is teaching her own children because she wants them to know what she wants them to know, plus the required things that the school requires. She is raising her children away from the disrespectful youngsters of the school to being absolutely respectful and absolutely happy with themselves, you see? And on and on and on. Now, we admire a person like that. We admire a person like that. But now, what's the only difference between you and that person? The only difference between you and that person is she lives every single moment of her life in the now. There is no past, there is no future. She lives in the now. She must. She must, to make a living for her family and to teach them and train them and do all the things that she wants to do during the day. She must. She doesn't have time to live in the past. Sean told me the past, but she doesn't have time to live there. She only has time to live in the present. And because she's living in the present, she's successful. And she's happy. And her children are devoted to her. Her children would not be devoted to her if she was an old stick in the mud, you know? Right? What?
I said a word.
Oh, see, her children would not be devoted to her if she were not someone who was worthy of devotion. If she was not someone who would inspire respect and honor. And obviously she inspires respect and honor, living in the now, living in the first person, in the present, thinking her first thought. You see? Now, Katrina, our southern belle from New Orleans, from New Zealand, she does many of the same things that Kathy does. But Kathy does not say it doesn't work. Kathy says, I love it and go for it. And she is. Katrina, if she would just love one thing, you know, one little magical thing that she can do and go for it, she'd be a success and she would have her property in no time and her business in no time, and she'd have dozens of people working for her and taking care of all the little nitty-gritty stuff that she doesn't want to take care of. But she's not living in the now. She's always living in the past. And we want to see her living in the now. We want to see her with all the experiences of her past, as marvelous as they were and as bothersome as they were, past, and living in the now. If she would live in the now and claim that she is the most fantastic, beautiful, capable person in the world, and she is, and then take one of her talents and apply it, one of the talents that she likes, in the now, in the first person, present tense, she would be so independently wealthy. She'd be so surrounded by beautiful friends because she is a beautiful lady. She'd be so surrounded by everything glorious, but the trouble is she lets herself drift back into the past. And when she lets herself drift back into the past, then she feels sorry for herself and she doesn't apply herself to doing the genius things that she can do. She is a glorious woman. You all are glorious people. You all are glorious men and women. You all are glorious beings. But how ignoble when we do not live in the present. How stupid when we do not live in the present and think our first thought, follow our first thought, and enjoy our first thought. That's a wonderful thing to do, you know that. Mm-hmm. And each one of us can do it. Now, get your nose out of anybody else's business. If you got your nose in somebody else's business, be the creator and say they're wonderful, they're fantastic, not they got problems, you see. Always support your attitude about anything in life. Think your first thought and play with your first thought and let your first thought bring all of its friends along, you know, and have a wonderful time because you're wonderful. So, my loves, that's our instant illumination, and let it be an illumination for you that is without comparison. I love you, 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 I love you.